We are in the book of Exodus, chapter 13, starting from verse 1.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine.
The children of Israel, they are not in Egypt anymore. They already left the Egypt. They are on the journey, but they stopped in the journey. And God told them, firstborn is mine. That means every male, man, and every animal's first male child belong to God. Okay, verse 3.
And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten.
Now again he's saying, remember this day, the day which God brought them out of Egypt. I think this is just the midnight they started their journey after this night time they start the journey. Now they are camping, and here he's saying this day, God has brought you out of the Egypt. Egypt is a sinful city or sinful country. And he says, house of bondage. So you were in the bondage. God brought you out of his strength, his power, and he delivered you. And so now you should not be eating any leavened bread. Means they can eat unleavened bread. Okay, so here is saying, you should remember this day and do not eat the leavened bread. Okay, verse 4.
This day came ye out of the month Abib.
And now he is saying what day they came. They came out of the Egypt. The month name was Abib. That's the first month in Jewish calendar. So he says, we came out of that day. And can you imagine? They put verse 4 just for saying them, this is the Abib month, so do not forget. Verse 5.
And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month.
Okay. Now he is saying where we are going. God promised Abraham this land. Abraham was living in Canaanites' place, but surrounding area, Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, Jebusites, and there are other tribes also, but here they are mentioned few. And so he said, this land I promise your forefather Abraham, and this land is flowing with the milk and honey, and this shall be given to you. And so keep this month, again he's saying, keep this month in remembrance. Means this month they're supposed to have Passover. Verse 6.
7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord.
Now, this we learn in chapter 12, but he's repeating again and again so they can remember. It says, 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast unto the Lord. And so feast, he's talking about the feast of Passover. Verse 7.
Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters.
Now again he is saying, you should be eating unleavened bread 7 days, but you cannot keep even leaven in your house, not only the house, in your quarters, mean your borders. Wherever you are camping or living, we do not want anything in that area. Means whole area, wherever you're living, there should not be leaven found in your house or your territory. Okay, verse 8.
And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt.
Now why we are doing this, if somebody asks, tell your son, means your children, this is the day God has brought us out of Egypt, and because of that memory, we are doing this. Where is that?
And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt.
Again he is trying to say, teach this to your children. Not only that, write a band in their hands with the word of God, and on their forehead, and in their mouth. That means they have to memorize certain verses. They have to keep the band in their hands and on their forehead. Keep in your hand, that means whatever you're doing, you do it according to the word of God. Whatever you're thinking or having desire, do it according to the word of God. And whatever comes out of your mouth, it should come the words of God according to the word of God. So you talk about God, you show the word of God to other people, and let the people see. When you have a forehead, first thing people will see your face, and they will hear, and they will see what the message of God is in your forehead. So this is just the Old Testament people, but this can apply to us. We should have the word of God handy and teach the word of God, preach the word of God, and live according to the word of God. Okay, verse 10.
Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year.
Now again he's saying, keep this season, Passover season, Passover feast, year to year, means you're not going to stop for first year. You're going to keep on doing it year after year. The same way we're doing the communion. Communion people do not do. Some churches never do the communion. Some churches they do once in a year. Some churches they do once a month. And some churches do once a week. And some people do every day. Every day means every day they do prayer and worship. That's the time they will have communion. But we do not have the facility. If we have the service every day, Monday through Friday or Saturday, Sunday, I will be able to give communion every day. But we're doing once a week. So here is saying you do every year. This was done every year. That's why many churches, they do every year communion. But here is the Passover feast. Remember, when you take the communion, you do it for the remembrance of me. Means when you're taking the communion, we remember that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary. Okay, verse 11.
And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee.
Our God is a promise keeper. Once he says something, he does. People change their word, God doesn't. God keeps his promises. Verse 12.
That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's.
Now again he's saying, we already learned before, he's saying every male child born into this world, means Israeli people, that main child, first child, give it to the Lord. Any animal, only donkey you cannot give, we'll be reading later on. So any animal first born is belong to God. Verse 13.
And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem.
Here did not say what kind of male should be given. It says only first male, firstborn. But when you go to Leviticus, there are so many rules and regulations. You cannot give pig, you cannot give dogs, you cannot give donkey to the Lord. You cannot sacrifice this thing. But in this chapter, it's saying only about donkey. So it says donkey, you cannot sacrifice to God or give it to the Lord. he says a donkey has to be redeemed. So how do you redeem it? He says you give lamb behalf of donkey. And if you don't have a lamb and you have only donkeys, then you twist that donkey's neck and kill that donkey, but you do not sacrifice and don't keep that first fruit from donkey. And so somebody might be thinking it's a very cruel thing. Why God is saying this to the donkey? But you see, donkey, according to this, is not a clean animal. Donkey was not allowed to be sacrificed. Donkey was the very animal who did not have any respect. Today also, here only you see donkeys in zoo. But in India, we see donkeys very, the poor people who, stone breakers, or bringing sand and things like that, they use the donkeys. And they do not give any food to the donkey. They just release them, and donkey goes everywhere and find whatever they can. But when Jesus Christ came, he made donkey very special. He said, go and bring the donkey and the colt of donkey. And that time, this donkey got so much respect. They were putting expensive clothes on the donkey, and in front of donkey, they were putting the clothes and branches of the trees, and donkey was walking. So we can see we are human beings. We cannot do anything without God. We were sinners, dying in sin and going to hell. The Bible says we are sinners. We cannot save ourselves. Even though we sacrifice our body on the cross and shed the blood, that blood will not redeem us or anybody else. The lamb should be blameless and holy. That only holy lamb is Jesus Christ. And so that donkey has to be redeemed by the blood of the lamb. So we are just the donkeys like, and Jesus Christ redeemed us with his precious blood. And if we are not redeemed, then what he says, twist the neck of the donkey and kill it. The same way, if we are not redeemed, we are going to go to hell. That's why we have to tell people, just like this donkey has to redeem, give the lamb for behalf of this donkey, and that donkey will live. But if you do not believe the Lamb of God, if you do not trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, one day, like this donkey, you'll be dead. And donkey just goes to ashes, but we will be going to eternal hellfire for eternity. So that's the difference. Okay, let's go to the verse 14.
And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage.
Now this we already read it, but this again he repeating. If some child will ask, why are you killing this animal like this, and you are sacrificing other animal, and donkey you are not sacrificing, or what is this feast all about? Then you tell them that God has redeemed us. He bought us out of the Egypt. We came out of the bondage, and God redeemed us and gave us freedom from the Pharaoh's hand. And this feast of Passover, we are just doing for the remembrance or for the memory. Verse 15.
And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrificed to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem.
He is saying why we are sacrificing the firstborn of animals. But the firstborn of man we are not sacrificing, we are redeeming. So he said we don't have to sacrifice our firstborn sons to God, but we redeem, just like we redeem the donkey with the blood of lamb. So he says, we are redeemed. Why? Pharaoh did not allow us to go. So God killed Pharaoh's first son and everyone's first son and all the animals' first child or first animal, firstborn. And so, and we are doing this, but we are not sacrificing our children because we are sacrificing the lamb and we are redeemed by the blood of the lamb. And so, teaching their children each time they ask the question. Verse 16.
And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt.
You remember this, we already read. He said, now keep this remembrance, the word of God, on your hand or wristband, and on your forehead, and in your lips or in your mouth. That means don't forget to keep on telling others, or keep the band on your head. There are some other rules we will be seeing. You write on the doorpost, on your house, and everywhere. But now here he's saying, when you walk around, let the people see what God has done. Other day one man came and he had the band, the hospital band, and he did not even take it out. I said, what is this? Looks like a hospital thing. He said, yes. So I said, why did you keep it? He said, well, I forgot to take it out. So as soon as I saw it, my attention was in his hand. What is this all about? So when you keep the band, the word of God, on your wrist or forehead or in your mouth, then you will be able to witness. Some people, they have a Bible. They say, oh, I have a reference Bible. I have all the notes in my Bible. And they carry that. That's good. Said, if somebody asks me, I'll go to my notes and I will go to my Bible. But, and sometimes they keep the Bible handy as a pillow or keep it on their heart. It will not do any good. We have to read the Bible, study the word, and memorize the scripture. Now somebody says, you know, my memory is not working because I'm 40 years old or 50 years old and my brain is not working. You don't have to memorize anything. What we have to do, we have to study the word, and you don't have to memorize. What you do, if you know John 3:16, one verse, you tell others, and you keep on telling others the same verse, within a week or so, you will memorize this verse without any effort. And so the word of God is very important. You have to. That's why the word of God says, faith comes by what? Hearing the word of God. He didn't say faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Now how do you hear the word of God? You hear when preacher preaches. The same way when you read it loud. So you see, it's registered in your eyes, in your mind, and you speak loud, it goes to your ears, and so you get double with your eyes and with your ears, and it comes to your mind, and that's the way your faith increase. And so the word of God should be read and memorized, giving the word to other people or showing the word all the time. Verse 17.
And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt.
Here is very important verse. Many people say, God did not bring people the way up the sea, because there was another pathway very close by. They could just walk through that pathway and they will be in the promised land. And there were Philistines also living in there. So many people are thinking, God would not do this. Sea will not be divided like that. It's impossible. There was a way, and God would have taken these people from that way. But God says there was a shortcut. I would have taken you that shortcut. But why I'm not taking in that shortcut? Because there are Philistines. And you know, there was a one giant Philistine, and David has to kill him with a stone. Giant people like Philistines. So these people, they're coming from Egypt. They are not trained for warriors. Even the God says, I bought these armies of God. But they were not warriors. They were not trained. They didn't know how to fight. And so God says, if I would have bought these people in the shortcut, and first thing this Philistine would have fought with these people and defeated these people would have gone back to Egypt. So he said, that's the reason I did not allow these people to go shortcut and took the way of wilderness. Okay, verse 18.
But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt.
See, that's the reason God took them in the wilderness way, and we will be learning next chapter. They came, and then Pharaoh comes behind. They say mountains all other sides. Front, they have Red Sea, and they have no way to go. And so they were trapped, but they were not able to go back because enemy were following them. Verse 19.
And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you.
You remember when we were studying the book of Genesis, and we learned that Joseph said, one day you will be free, you'll go into the promised land, take my bones. Read that in Genesis chapter 50, verse 25.
And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence.
Now this was the desire of Joseph. He says, one day you are going to be free, take my body or take my bones. And the word of God says, Moses, remember this. Moses was not there. This is now after 400 years. But they kept on saying, God is going to redeem us. God is going to make us free. This is the coffin. This is Joseph's body. We are going to take it. And they remember, and Moses also kept the promise. Today there are so many people make the promise, but they don't keep it. But here the example, 400 years, 430 years passed, but they kept the promise and they took his bones. Let's go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 20.
And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night.
Now, they started from Ramses, they come to Succoth, and there he talked to them. Now they are going to start the journey from Succoth, and they're going to Etham. And now he says how they were going and how God was protecting. The daytime, they will be pillar of cloud. The pillar of cloud will stand before them, and so they will be protected. The nighttime, the pillar of fire. And so day, the pillar of cloud. The night, pillar of fire. And the word of God says God was leading them. So this was like in those days, they did not have compass. They did not have the east, west, and north how to go. So God says, just follow me. Just look at the cloud and follow. Nighttime, look at the pillar of fire and walk. And so they had guidance of God. If the pillar of cloud is not guiding, you should not take your journey. If the pillar of fire is not guiding, you don't take your journey. And if somebody starts doing it, they will get into trouble. They will be not knowing where they're going, and they will fall in the trap of animals or enemy, and they will die. That's why the word of God says, Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. And what he says, my sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me. They will not hear the voice of the enemy. And so we have to follow Christ. keep our eyes on Christ. Book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 2, what is saying? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
And he finished the goal very happily, joyfully. And now he's sitting at the right hand of God. But now we are in journey. We are not looking at any man or any person or any leader. We are going to looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Our journey on in this world is faith journey. If we lose faith, we'll have lots of problems. But faith comes, as I said, three different ways the faith comes. First, hearing the word of God. Second, you pray. Jesus' disciples say, they prayed to him and say, give us the faith. So when you ask anything in prayer, you receive it. So you can pray and receive the faith. You can listen to the word of God and receive the faith. Or you're looking unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So faith is the important thing in a Christian life. If you lose the faith, you will not have your journey. The enemy will come and attack you and do all kinds of damage. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, what is saying? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and sound mind. So we need sound mind. We need God's guidance. So if you have a fear, then you're not going to trust in God. So the fear enemy brings, not God, to destroy you. So we have to focus on Christ and trust in Jesus Christ. Go back to the Exodus chapter 13.
In 22?
Yep.
He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people.
Now he says, the pillar of cloud was there by day, pillar of fire was by night, and God did not take it away from them. And God was guiding them by the day and night. And so, in short, here is saying, our guide is Jesus. Looking unto Jesus in our life, and we will never go wrong. And so the Bible is also our guidebook. Read the Word of God, study the Word of God, and then you will know how to do the will of God. There are so many people say, I don't know what to do. I don't know the will of God. Read the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
See what he's trying to say? The body is the temple of God, but this body is always lusting for sin. And so if your body is defiled, then you have no connection with God. As soon as person commits sin, he's cut off. God cannot hear, person gets confused and has no peace. So he says, your body you have to give to God. Now, what kind of body? He says, you don't give a dead body. Dead body means you're committing sin, your body is dead because of sin, the word of God says. So once you are alive, that's the time to say, Lord, here I am. I am a born-again child of God. I want to give my body as a living sacrifice. What does it mean? Make the Lord of your life and say, Lord, whatever I want to do, I want to do it according to your will. So your body should be functioned according to the Spirit, not by your flesh. So fleshly desires is enmity to God. This is a reasonable service to God. And is acceptable to God. That means God says, I want you, not your money, not anything. I want you, and I can use you. There are some people say, I stay home. Oh, could you take this $10 and put it in the offering? Or could you go and give a prayer request for me? What the Bible says, with your body you go to church and give your body as a living sacrifice. Read the words too.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
See, then you will know what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When? when you give your body as a living sacrifice and then renewing your mind. Our mind is bombarded with a worldly thing. There are so many things we are doing. But once we give our body as a living sacrifice, and then when we are born again children of God, we have the mind of Christ, we have the mind of God, and then our mind will not be corrupted like a worldly people's mind. The worldly people's, how can you find out this person is worldly? You can find out his tongue, his behavior, his eyes, his mouth, his dress code, and everything you see, you will know this person is not godly. Because godly people's, their behavior, their talking, everything is changes. So here the word of God is saying, you transform your mind. You don't be like a worldly people. People should look at you and they say, this person's, something is different. Maybe this person, a child of God. I meet so many people like that. And then I said, you know what? I was thinking about you and what, how you talk and how you walk and things like that. Are you a Christian? They say, yeah. What church you go to? If that church is full gospel, then you know these people are really, really sold out to God. So the word of God is saying, we want to know the will of God, then we have to follow God. We cannot say, oh, I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to do this and that. And so here the word of God is saying, I want to bless you. Remember what I have done. I took you out of the Egypt, out of the bondage, out of the slavery, and now you are free. Remember, follow me. Do not follow other God. I didn't want you to get killed. That's why I'm taking you around and round. But that is for your good. Otherwise, you will be slaughtered in the hand of Philistines. So God loves us. God wants us to be safe and secure. But we have to do one thing. I always tell my wife and my children and myself why I'm living in this world. I have only one goal, living for Christ. There is no other goal. If I cannot live for God, then I don't want to live in this world. This world is not for us. We are living for temporary time. We are going to go to heaven, and that is our permanent place. So whatever time we have in this world, we should be thinking about God. In book of Colossians, if you read, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, he says, you should be looking up. Jesus Christ is coming very soon. Our eyes should be on Christ. Please read.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Here he's talking, if you are born again, if you believe Jesus Christ is risen, and you are born again, then you should be keeping your eyes on God. Keep on reading.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
See, your affections, your desires, your thinking, talking about everything about God, not about this earth and earthly things. Okay.
For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God.
See, he said, you are dead. We are spiritually dead. We are alive in Christ. And so we don't have any other life. What life we are living, that is a life of Christ. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. We do not have our own life. Your word says our life is hidden in Christ. And Christ is our life. We do not have other life. You have redeemed us, just like a donkey has to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We have to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Otherwise, we will going to go to hell. Thank you, Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. You have redeemed us, and you have given us eternal life. We want to follow you. There are so many people dying without God and without Christ. We want to tell them who God is and who Jesus Christ is. Give us grace to live for you and for your glory. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.